Hello there, my name's Gary Sims and this is Gary Explains. Now I'm sure you're well aware that Apple is in part of a two-year transition moving away from Intel processors to its own in-house processors, which are known as Apple Silicon. Now yesterday Apple had a big event where it talked about what it was doing next as part of this transition, and it announced the Mac Studio, a new kind of Mac that we haven't seen before that is kind of greater than a Mac Mini, but not as much as a Mac Pro. Doesn't come with a monitor, you plug in whatever monitors you want to it. Now, as part of that, it also announced the M1 Ultra, its latest processor from the M1 family. And what it's done is really, really clever. So if you want to find out more, please let me explain. So when Apple started its transition away from Intel processors to its own Apple Silicon, it had the M1 processor, which was launched in a couple of MacBooks. I got hold of a MacBook Air, and I've got quite a few videos here about the MacBook Air, the performance of the M1 processor, the battery life, and so on. If you want to check those out, you'll find links in the description below. Now, after we had the vanilla, as it is now, M1 processor, we also got the M1 Pro and the M1 Max. Now, basically, these are beefed up versions of the M1. They use exactly the same CPU architecture, exactly the same GPU architecture. However, there's just more of it. So in the M1, you might have, you know, 8 CPU cores. In the M1 Pro and the M1 Max, there's 10 CPU cores. 8 GPU cores in the M1, up to, you know, 32 GPU cores in the M1 Pro and the M1 Max, and so on. So you've kind of got this just beefing it all up. And again, I've got videos about the M1 Pro and the M1 Max here on this channel. Now, there's one final entry in the M1 family. That's the M1 Ultra. Now, the M1 Ultra comes with 20 CPU cores, 16 high-performance cores, and 4 power efficiency cores, so that's double what you find in the M1 Max. It's also got up to 64 GPU cores, that's double again of what you find in the M1 Max. And you've got 2 neural engines, you've got 2 video decoders, 4 video encoders. In fact, everything you look at it is double what you find in the M1 Max. And there's a reason for that. And the reason is the M1 Ultra is 2 M1 Max processors glued together. It's not quite glue, obviously, it's a bit more technical than that, but you basically get 2 M1 Maxes inside of the same physical processor. So why is that, and how has Apple done it? Now, hopefully you had a chance to watch my video about how Intel has joined the RISC-V Foundation. And in that video, I mentioned how Intel is said it's going to concentrate on providing chiplet services as part of its foundry services. Now, what do we mean by chiplet? Well, there are physical barriers, physical limitations to creating bigger and bigger pieces of silicon with all the chips stuff, the transistors etched onto it. Do watch my video on how microprocessors are made. Now, the M1 Max has 57 billion transistors on it, and there are problems in trying to grow that to bigger and bigger. However, there's nothing stopping us from taking smaller pieces of silicon that have already been etched with all the transistors on them and joining them together with a kind of an internet. And they're called chiplets, and that's what Intel said it's going to be offering as part of its foundry services. And also recently we had the launch of the Universal Chiplet Interconnect Express, UCIe, which is a standard supported by Intel, AMD, ARM, Qualcomm, Samsung, Google, Microsoft, TSMC. Basically a universal way to take chiplets, these bits of silicon, have them connect to each other on the kind of the physical package, and then that allows you to build up more and more complicated systems. And you could even have chiplets from different manufacturers and kind of join them together. Kind of think about PCI Express, but not on the motherboard and not with slots and big cards, but all the way shrunk down to the inside of the actual chip packaging. Now, Apple have done exactly the same thing. They've taken an M1 Max, they've taken another M1 Max, and they've joined them together using their own interconnection service. Now, by joining them together using the interconnect, when it's presented to the software, it seems just like one processor. So the software will say, oh, hey, I've got one processor, and it's got a 64-core GPU. But in fact, it's really two lots of 32-core GPUs. Or it says I've got 20 CPU cores, but actually it's two lots of 10 GPUs, and so on and so on. Now, the advantage of this is that when the software sees it, it doesn't need to do any special programming to use them. So, for example, in the PC world, of course, we can have two GPU physical cards that we put into the PC, but there needs to be a driver that says, I know, one card will do the top half of the screen and one card will do the bottom half of the screen, or it can be divided up into different ways. You need to tell each card what it's responsible for. With the chiplet design, it still thinks it's just one card, it just happens to be split over two bits of silicon that are then joined together with this special interconnect. Now for CPU and GPU, maybe that's not so difficult, but think about video decode and video encode. You don't no longer need to say, well, please pick video decoder one, please pick video decoder two. You just say, here, I've got this video to decode, and because they're connected together on the same kind of a system together with this interconnect, the software and the hardware work together to basically make sure that gets decoded as it should do. So from a programmer's point of view, there's nothing different. It just seems like exactly the same system. There's obviously some sophisticated stuff going on in the background to make sure they can talk to each other. But even though it's two M1 Max processors, they look like an M1 Ultra as a single unified thing. And that also includes things like caching, access to the unified memory, as I said, CPU, GPU, video decode, video encode, the neural engine, they all present a kind of a unified face to the software developer. In terms of performance, Apple are claiming that the M1 Ultra is 90% faster than the 16-core i9-12900K. Now, the i9-12900K has, in fact, 16 cores. Now, 8 of those cores are high-performance cores, and they also offer 16 threads. And then 8 of those cores are power-efficiency cores. So it's a hybrid in the sense of it's got power-efficiency cores and high-performance cores, just like we get in the M1, just like we get in our Android smartphones, just like we get in the Apple iPhones. 90% faster, and that's quite an amazing claim. And it also claims it can offer the same performance as that Intel i9 chip, but at 100 watts less power. And again, talking about power, it says for the GPU, and this is absolutely amazing, it says it can use 200 watts less power than a GeForce RTX 3090 and yet offer the same performance. So Apple's claiming desktop kind of, you know, NVIDIA GeForce, you know, kind of performance inside the chip without having to use a separate discrete GPU in a card, in a slot. It's saying you can get all that just from what's going inside the GPU. Now, obviously, these are Apple's numbers at the moment. Now, my testing of the M1 showed that Apple's numbers are actually pretty much on spot. Of course, it depends on what exactly workload you're running, what exactly it is that you're trying to prove. However, the M1 did actually stand up, and so far so has the M1 Pro and the M1 Max. And because it's all basically the same GPU and CPU architecture, just more and more powered on top, we've got no reason to believe that it isn't also true of the M1 Ultra. Now, it's also worth mentioning the thermals. The Mac Studio has got the M1 Ultra in it, or one of the variations has, and it's got some serious cooling going on it, and Apple are showing how the design of the M1 Studio allows the air to circulate and do the cooling. So don't think that this is kind of the same as what you get inside of a smartphone or a tablet. This is a serious piece of silicon and it does require some cooling. So no, you're not going to see it in the next iPhone. No, you're not going to see it in an iPad. However, you will see it and do see it in kind of the desktop ones that allow the air to circulate and for there to be some active cooling going on in that processor. At the end of the presentation, Apple did say that the transition over to Apple Silicon is almost done. There's just one more device that needs updating, and that is the Mac Pro. Now, we know the M1 Ultra is the last processor in the M1 family. So we've got the M1, the M1 Pro, the M1 Max, and now the M1 Ultra. And the question is, will the Mac Pro use the M1 Ultra, maybe an M1 Max, or is there something else coming down the line? Now, of course, at some point, we will expect to see the M2 family. And of course, launching the Mac Pro with the M2 would be a significant boost to that kind of professional naming, either the Mac Pro, the top of the line. Now, what could be in the M2? Well, the M1 family is based on the same CPU and GPU that you get in the Apple A14s. That's from the iPhone 12 in 2020. So kind of almost 2 years have gone past. And so if the Mac Pro was announced in, let's say, November of 2022, that would be just at the limit of a 2-year transition, but it would allow the M2 processor to offer something new. Now, it could be based on the CPU cores that you find inside of the A15, so that's the iPhone 13, or It could be, if it comes after the launch of the next iPhone, it could be what CPU cores we find in the A16. And I really am thinking that the A16 will definitely have to move over to ARM V9, just as we've seen so far now from Qualcomm and from Samsung and so on. And so really, what we could see in the Mac Pro is a M2 family processor based on ARM V9, and then again, I'd expect to see lots and lots of CPU cores, lots and lots of GPU cores, improvements to the neural engine, improvements to the video decode and so on, and so really a whole new line then. And then after that, we'll then see incremental updates of the other products in the Mac lineup to move over to the M2 where that is appropriate. Okay, so there we have it, the M1 Ultra, two M1 Maxes stuck together using a special interconnect that means they get presented to the software as a single processor, but in fact it's just double of everything you've got in the M1 Max, 114 billion transistors, but that's possible because it's two 57 billion transistors wafers that are then joined together at the package level. You've also got the memory around that, and that gives you a super, super performant processor, and in no doubt it is either the highest performing desktop PC or one of them, without any doubt whatsoever. But of course, there is some higher prices to pay. We are looking at several thousand dollars to get hold of one of those Mac Studio devices. Okay, that's it. My name is Gary Sims, and this is Gary Explained. I really hope you enjoyed this look at the M1 Ultra. If you did, please do give it a thumbs up. If you like these kind of videos, then please stick around by subscribing to the channel. Don't forget you can follow me on Twitter, at Gary Explains, and I also have a monthly newsletter covering everything I'm doing here on the Gary Explains channel and everything I'm doing over on Android Authority. Go over to GaryExplains.com, type your email address, no spam, just the newsletter. Okay, that's it. I'll see you in the next one.